But we haven't caught up with our buddy Dwayne Casey in a while. It's been a while since we caught up with DC, and we used to have him on all the time when he was here in Toronto, one of our favorites, and now he's in Detroit doing work with the Pistons and doing great work in the community. I read about this yesterday, and he and I were going back and forth last night. Always great to have him back on the show. Here he is, the head coach of the Pistons, Dwayne Casey. Dwayne, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Brian. How you doing, bud?
Doing very well. Very, very well. You sent me an email last night, and we were kind of going back and forth, and I read about it yesterday, what you've been kind of doing for the community of Detroit, which is a city that obviously has been on hard times for a while, to say nothing of what it's gone through ever since this pandemic stormed through. Take us through, you know, what's going on in Detroit. How is Detroit holding up, and how are you trying to help out?
Well, one, the main thing, when the pandemic first hit, Brian, I reached out to Dave Bing, who is a former mayor of Detroit, who is also a good friend and former NBA great, and, you know, to see what, you know, I could do, what we could do as an organization and our players, myself. And one thing Dave was doing, he's worked with Focus Hope, which is a foundation that feeds elderly people, seniors, young families with young kids. Probably about, they service almost over 40,000, you know, people over the, you know, the last year. And so he said that let's do something for them. So he and I both first physically took, you know, bags of groceries to different homes of people who were seeking it and delivered it to their homes. And, you know, that's right in the middle of it. So we had our masks and gloves and proudly went to different homes. And you really, it really touched me, and I know it touched, you know, Mayor Bing, because we went to a couple of homes, and, you know, the lady that was with us said, you know, do you know who these two guys are? And to us, we were just someone that was bringing them groceries. And, you know, the beautiful thing about it was, you know, after, you know, we told them who we were, they were excited. But the beautiful thing is they just was looking for a handout, something, someone to help them eat. And so that was something that was, that's how I first got introduced to Focus Hope. And then after that, I wanted to do something financially. My wife and I, we, you know, did something significant as far as helping them and buying more groceries and that type of thing for the people in Detroit. Because as you said, Brian, it's a tough city that's seen tough times, but, you know, they've never given up. And that's one you know, personality trait of the city of Detroit, that it's a tough city, and people that were tough and came through tough times, and hopefully they can get through this and come back and bounce through this, especially through this pandemic situation.
Yeah, it's been very interesting to watch the sports world kind of rally around their respective communities and a lot of members of the sporting community giving back, whether it's with their time, with their money, just with their connections and with who they are kind of as a brand, so to speak. How do you think this might change? Let's stick to the NBA landscape, the way the NBA operates in the future in terms of charity, in terms of reaching out. You know, could that be a silver lining? We didn't ever want to go through this, but once we get through it, maybe we're in a better spot as a community because of it, in a way.
Well, that is a great point. That's one of the major points why I wanted to try to reach out to my, you know, friends in the media, the guys that covered the NBA over the years that I respect, to try to get the word out, you know, or to reach, whether it's NHL players, baseball players, basketball players. Because we're fortunate, we've had the opportunity to rise above a lot of things and be, you know, be blessed and you know, financially, to be able to help those who are unemployed, who didn't have the opportunity. As some people are already hitting hard times in Detroit, I've employed our players, baseball players, football players here in Detroit to help out. You know, whether it's Focus Hope or other organizations, it doesn't have to necessarily be them. But do something to help. And I think, like you said, the pandemic will help open people's eyes. It's not just about sports or how much you have. It's about, what can I do to help others? What can I do to express love and to help, to reach out and help? And hopefully my kids can see that as an example. And if we ever, hopefully we don't ever go through something like this again, they'll be first in line to help whoever. And I'm sure there's people there in Toronto that need the help and could be helped. So I hope that whether it's the Raptors or the Maple Leafs or the, you know, Blue Jays, some the players, staff, or whoever can do something to help. Don't be afraid to reach out, because, you know, those foundations, those people who are trying to get the resources and to be able to help are looking for helping hands and just waiting for those calls, and they'll be excited to hear from you.
With Dwayne Casey, the head coach of the Detroit Pistons, in terms of your interactions with your players and, you know, either discussing or maybe, I guess, you know, advocating for them to use their voices and use their platforms with just a bevy of topics, I've always been curious how you've handled that. I mean, we're going through this pandemic and COVID-19. I'm sure you're aware of what's happening in Minneapolis and with the death of George Floyd, and how a lot of different athletes are speaking out, both white and black, you know, and people of different backgrounds on police brutality and race relations. How have you handled that over the years? You know, I guess either urging your players to speak out or what kind of conversations do you have with your guys when it comes to pretty heavy topics?
Well, I that's exactly right, and those are heavy topics. And the first thing I did, and fortunately I have coached in Minnesota, so I still have a lot of friends there, whether it's in the media, also talked to some people in the front office there in Minnesota, and just express my, you know, voice to them, to what they're going through, which is a tough time, and for a different reason, but similar. Because a lot of that frustration, Brian, that plight that they're going through is probably economic driven. You know, people who are down on their luck, wants to be heard, don't have the opportunity to be out front. So I would say some of that frustration that we're seeing in Minneapolis is coming from hard times also. And again, whatever players can do, what I tell players, whatever you can do to help, remember where you came from. At one point, you were on the other side of that door when they were knocking on that door to deliver food or have to go get the county cheese, as we call it in Kentucky. So, you know, at one point, but the good Lord blessed you to be talented. You had the opportunity, and now you're here. So let's pay it forward, reach back. And I say that all the time, a lot of times, because, you know, from being at my age, Brian, that we're giving players not only my kids lesson, but a lot of young players in our league who've never been in a situation where they have to give back or pay it forward. And I'm a firm believer in you reap what you sow. And I do believe players, when they give and be humble and be appreciative of what they have, give back, reach out, good things come back in spades. So I talk about that all the time in some of our film sessions, and, you know, I texted a couple players to, you know, to help deliver food here in Detroit, the guys that are here in the market, and so trying to get everybody involved, because I have no shame in trying to get guys to help, especially the unfortunate.
We're chatting with Dwayne Casey, the head coach of the Detroit Pistons, longtime coach here in Toronto. As for basketball, I mean, it kind of sounds like it's going to happen late July, early August. You guys are in a position where we don't know if you're going to be included, if you're going to play again.
Right.
How much focus are you even placing on basketball right now with everything else that's going on?
Well, it's still important, Brian. And again, I totally understand, you know, in our situation where we're in a rebuilding situation, you know, we got a lot of young players. I would like to play and have a chance to get back in the gym with our young team just to get some repetitions and build some other good habits if we had to play a few games. The unfortunate part is you have a player like Derrick Rose or Blake Griffin or older player who it wouldn't serve a lot of purpose for them to ramp it up for 4 weeks and then go play four games with their body and some of their health issues. But for the young players, it'd be very good. But as you said, I think they're going to go, you know, I don't know this for sure, but with the playoff scenario, with teams like Toronto, Boston, and Milwaukee in the top, you know, eight playoff teams and go, and which one I think is probably safer, the less number that you have with the pandemic, and go ahead and play in the playoffs, which is, you know, it's fine with me. You know, like Adam told us, you know, there's going to be a lot of, there's going to be some people unhappy. But again, I understand it. Would love to play, but I understand what they're doing, and we'll you know, be supportive of whatever the league comes up with. And I think a lot of players just want to get back to playing. And myself, I want to get back coaching again. And so I think with our team, hopefully they'll give us an opportunity to continue to work, because we are where we were the first couple of years in Toronto. You know, it kind of rebuilding, getting an identity, you know, retooling our roster piece by piece, year by year, you know, and until we have a chance to hit that home run and get it the way we want to get it.
Coach Casey, with the NHL mm-hmm. having determined that there's going to be a play-in and a playoff, so 24 mm-hmm. teams involved, mm-hmm. I've thought a lot about the coaching part of it. And mm-hmm. if you're going to go back and coach in that environment, do you think you're mm-hmm. coaching more, the same amount, or are you coaching less going back? They haven't played in 2 months.
That's a great point. One thing I think is when you go back, I think we have to be very cognizant of the fact guys have been off for probably 3 months, and they haven't played competitively with their bodies, you know, reacting with their bodies and changing speed, going against power in the last 3 months. And so if we come right in and ramp it up to 100 miles an hour right off the bat, I promise you, you're going to have some major injuries no matter what sport it is, whether it's hockey, baseball. Baseball probably not as much because, it's kind of a slower building sport. But I know with hockey and basketball, we plan on getting back in, whether we go into the playoffs down to Orlando or not, to go slow. So I would say to your question is it'd be a lot of fundamental coaching, slower coaching going in, probably more based on conditioning, getting the body ready to go through the grind, more so than getting out and competing. Even the teams that are going to play the playoff settings, I think it behooves everybody to be careful, just because guys haven't played competitive basketball, in not only one-on-one, not only five-on-five, not even one-on-one. So it's going to be a process. I think everybody has to, you know, say, let's take it slow just for the sake of the players and their bodies and not to help prevent injuries.
With Dwayne Casey, we'd be remiss not to ask you about, you know, Michael mm-hmm. Jordan in The Last Dance, mm-hmm. which is now a couple of weeks in our rear view, but you were in Seattle when, you know, you guys had some pretty good battles. Did you ever get caught in the crosshairs of him chirping you or smack talk or what?
No. I tried to stay out of that, and I'm surprised George set himself up by walking by him and not saying hello, knowing how close he and George were. So right. that was the talk by George. Just don't give him any locker room fodder. Just don't give him any bulletin board material. Make sure we, you know, go about our business, get things done, but don't say anything to the media to get them, because they were looking for things to get them motivated, whether it's talking trash, and that's what got Michael going. We kept telling Gary Payton, hey, let's keep it cool, Gary. Keep it, you know, be quiet, go slow. But that's not Gary's personality. You know, Gary wakes up in the morning talking trash. So, you know, it was something we didn't do the first few games, was put Gary onto Michael, because Gary was the only point guard. At that time, Nate McMillan was hurt. He had a bad sciatic nerve in his back, so we knew we were down on point guards. I think Eric Snow was our backup rookie point guard. So we couldn't get Gary in foul trouble. We couldn't wear him down. So I think I can't remember who we put him on. It may have been Harper, but we didn't start him out on Michael. We made a mistake by putting Hersey Hawkins on him, and he lit Hersey up, and he lit Detlef up, but Gary came in and did a good job. And the other story that was missed on that, the story was in Seattle in game three, because it was a 2-3-2 scenario playoff platform. In game three, he came in and played 36 holes of golf, came in that night, and still kicked our butt. So, you know, that's how good Michael was at that time. And he reminds me so much of Michael. I mean, so much of LeBron, Michael does. You know, he's smart. You show him a defense one way, he's going to pick it apart. So those two are a lot alike with their basketball intellect And sort of the same thing we went through in Toronto, just getting over Mount LeBron. Everybody at that time was trying to get over Mount Michael.
Right.
And, you know, that was a whole whole history of that. They went through similar paths as far as teams having to get over them. And, but, again, they were so smart, so athletic, and so gifted. They could carry a big load on their back no matter who you put around them.
Well, it's always great catching up with you, Dwayne. Stay safe and continued success down there. And we'll do this again down the road. Always appreciate you finding time for us.
That'd be great, Brian. Good talking to you. Be safe and give my best to everyone.
You got it. There he is, Dwayne Casey.
Right. Right. Thank you.
There he is, the head coach of the Detroit Pistons. One of our favorites here on Overdrive.
The voice of reason, the voice of everything. I just stood back. I just sat back. It was almost like, I don't know if you could recognize this, Pooley. He was shocked that there was another
voice.
He's like, who the hell is that asking me a question?
Somebody's cutting Hayes' grass. Who is cutting Hayes' grass?
Right.
But he liked it because you were like, Coach Casey, I've got a question for you. He was like, is there another person on the line here?
I like it. And it was a good question, too. He's like, that's great. And it's a good point, Pooley, about when you do return, do you coach more, the same, less? How do you handle it?
Well, the temptation is going to be there. The temptation is going to be there for some personalities to coach more. Like, they're going to think that they are the sole difference, and the best guys are going to figure out, you know, that this is a new environment, and they're going to handle it differently.
Right. All right, let's come back and get more into that. That's a really good point. Good point. Good point, Dave. That's a good point,
Thank you.
Dave.
That's a great, What's that great voice? Point. What's that voice?
Yeah, that's some random guy. Don't worry about him, Dwayne. All right, so thanks again to Dwayne Casey.